The following program is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and the views and opinions may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station.
Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Air Canada returns to Sacramento this spring, and it appears American Airlines may have enough pilots at double pay to fly you to see the family at Christmas.
Rick Steves was in Sacramento last Sunday night, and Mark has some insight on Rick's lecture, Travel as a Political Act, coming up at 3:20.
We have an unusual guest, a former British intelligence officer who has started a company, How Safe Is My Trip, to keep you safe when you travel. A fascinating interview at 3:35.
One of Mark's favorite journeys is a trip on the old highway. Recently, he spent a few days on the Mother Road. Get your kicks on Route 66. And learn about how you can be part of the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in San Jose next month. That's coming up at 3:50.
A busy schedule. We best get with it. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise. To Alaska. To go north to Rush Your Zone.
To the first Sunday in December. Here we are. It's holiday time. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys. Merry Christmas. And here we are, the last few shows of 2017. Mark, how have you been and what have you been up to since I saw you last Sunday?
I've been checking out the cold weather in the Pacific Northwest. Spent a couple days up in Portland on tour operator business, and now I'm here in Spokane with Chris Galloway from my staff and 27 Sports Leisure travelers, and we are enjoying the spectacular Davenport Hotel. We had Sunday brunch here this morning, and the Davenport Hotel in Spokane is really one of the classic old hotels in the country, and at Christmas they have a charity decorated Christmas trees around the mezzanine level of the hotel, and that are auctioned off for charity. And the hotel is quite decorated. And a Sunday brunch here at the Davenport is, I think, over $50. But it's worth every penny. It's really, we had a spectacular meal this morning here in town and are really enjoying. And the folks are headed over to Leavenworth for a couple of nights. So a little Bavarian village in the at Christmas time, which really lights itself up. Pretty cool. So some neat things to do here for Christmas. How have you been, sir? What were you up to this week?
Oh, I'll tell you. The early part of the week, we did some travel guy interviews for future use. But the highlight of the week literally was this past Friday night, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Al Petrelli, who we interviewed not that long ago, performed at the Golden One Arena. It's their annual visit, So you'll know, if you've never been to one of the TSO shows, first of all, Trans-Siberian Orchestra arrives with 16 semi-trucks, and they put up a stage like no other, with lights and special effects. They have a crew of over 100 people that assemble all of this in a period of about 4 or 5 hours. I don't know how they do it, but the show here was better than ever. They're still doing the Ghost of Christmas Past, which they've done the last couple of years, but new staging and, as always, tremendous musicianship and really, really a great show. And they filled up the Golden One for two shows, 3:30 and an 8 o'clock, not an empty seat in the house.
Wow. A rock and roll Christmas show for sure. So I'm not surprised that it's so high on your list, since there's kind of some of that old rock and roll sort of ingrained.
Yeah, you know me, Mark. I mean, and no doubt about it, when I sit there in the audience, I tell you, many, many times during the show, I wish I was that guy on stage. You know, ripping it up on the guitar. Anyway, enough of that and enough of me and enough of TSO. Let's bring everybody up to date on what's been going on in the travel news since we saw them last. And with that, here's Mark and the travel news.
All right, Thomas. Let's see here. We mentioned in the headlines that American Airlines, folks, I'm sure have picked up on this, has been having some trouble. It seems as though the American Airlines computer system gave all the pilots Christmas off. Everybody who asked for Christmas off was granted it off, and pretty soon they didn't have enough people to fly the airplane, so they had to go back and ask the pilots, beg the pilots to come back and work on Christmas. Of course, once you've been told by your boss that you have the time off and you've maybe started making plans with your family and stuff, you're probably not interested in coming back to work at regular holiday pay. You probably would want a little more money.
Yes.
And that's indeed what happened at American Airlines, is that they have, by offering their pilots time and a half and double time on a holiday when they're already getting a few bucks more, have found enough pilots apparently to fly their airplanes over the Christmas holidays. And I have to believe that whoever might have been responsible for that might be looking for employment at this point.
Oh, no.
Since that's good. That's not only has caused them a tremendous amount of bad PR, Tom, but the other thing that it's caused that cost them is probably a heck of a lot of money. Air Canada is coming back to Sacramento. Yes, some of the air service that we lost over pre-recession days is returning to Sacramento. Some folks will remember we had a 50-seat aircraft that flew a couple times a day round trip to Vancouver from Sacramento Airport, and at the time it was our only international service. Now we have four or five flights to Mexico, the daily flights to Guadalajara, and some weekend flights to Cabo, and a summer flight to Mexico City. So this will be our first nonstop back to Canada. You may have heard about it this week. It will be one flight a day on a 76-seat aircraft, so a little bigger than the 50-seater that they used before. The flight will, it's going to start the third week of May. It will leave Vancouver every morning about 8:50 in the morning and arrive in Sacramento a little before 11 o'clock, leave at 11:45, and go back to Vancouver, arriving about 1:30 in the afternoon. So for folks who are catching perhaps a cruise ship up in Vancouver, they may find that this gives them another alternative to Alaska or Delta Airlines. And the good thing about this is every time you get another carrier flying the same route, why, then you've got a little bit more competition. Of course, when you fly in and out of Canada, you clear customs in Canada. So coming home, you just hop off the airplane and you're all done with your travel. So that will begin in the third week in May. There'll be a morning flight to Vancouver on Air Canada every day. All through this, I understand, all through the summer, and right now it doesn't have an end date on it, so it may very well end up being a service to Canada that will be available year-round. Another thing that's important about that is that if you fly to Vancouver on Air Canada, you can then connect to, nonstop to just about every major destination in Canada, so it will give folks, I think, some more options when they're flying out of Sacramento, and it also gives our airport just a little bit more prestige, you know, those nonstop international flights are
now
definitely
where it's at. Yeah, now, I have to assume that that, of course, will be flying out of the old Terminal A.
It is going to fly out of Terminal A. Air Canada is part of the Star Alliance, so they are technically a partner with United Airlines. So I'm guessing that it's entirely possible United may handle some of their gate services and stuff like that. I don't know that for a fact, but they are going to fly out of Terminal A, so my guess is that 11:45 time will probably allow them to use one of the United gates. So, like I said, just another opportunity, another way to get around out of Sacramento. So we have a beautiful airport, and now we've got service to go with it. If you'd like to, how would you like to snag a New York hotel room for $100 a night, Thomas?
No, well, my first thought was, boy, that's not going to be pretty, but, yeah, absolutely. What kind of, tell me more. Tell our listeners more.
No, I didn't say what kind of room could you get for $100.
Yeah, right.
New York is coming up on their hotel week, New York City, and, it's the seventh time they've done this, and New York hotels fix to price points.
Okay.
So $100, $200, $300, and $400 discounted from as much as $500 a night. We have a list online if you are considering heading to New York soon. you might be able to take advantage of hotel week in New York City. Just so you know, Tom, the average cost of a hotel room in New York City is about $248. So that's okay. A pretty good deal.
Yeah, I should say so.
Well, I mean, if you could snag one of those $248 rooms for $100, but not, of course, if you were, you know, you $100 New York hotel room sometimes wouldn't buy you too much. Hey, if you're out looking for a gift for your traveling friends for Christmas, be careful about buying a smart bag. We talked about these on our program.
We had
a couple people who wrote in.
Yes.
And asked us about where to get them. And I had to write them back and say, gosh, at the time, I literally couldn't find any place they were on sale. They are on sale for Christmas. Good news, bad news. The power source for these bags are lithium batteries. So if you've been flying for a while, you know that the airlines are not crazy about having lithium batteries on board the plane, and particularly not, they're banned in the cargo hold. American Airlines early next year will prohibit passengers from checking any bags that have a non-removable lithium-ion battery. So if you are looking for gifts for your traveler this Christmas, be careful about buying a smart bag that says, boy, this bag will tell you everywhere it is all the time, because the airlines are not going to allow them, at least not under their current power situation. So
wow.
A good idea maybe became not quite as good of an idea. J.D. Power has announced the best hotel loyalty programs. Not too many surprises here on their list of top 10 programs. Tom, who do you think is at the top?
Well, hotel royalty programs. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Just because I'm one, I'm going to go with Starwood's.
Starwood finished fifth. But the good news here is
Marriott.
That the top Marriott was first, which, of course, is now Starwood's parent company. The hotels in the top five were all really close together. Marriott beat Hyatt by 1 point, according to J.D. Power's scoring system. Hilton Honors was third, Holiday Inn or IHG Rewards is fourth, and Starwood is fifth, and just about a hair separates all of them. Then it's Best Western, La Quinta, Club Carlson, Choice Privileges, which is Comfort Inns and Days Inns, and then Wyndham Rewards was last. So kind of interesting, and the writer of this article at Smarter Travel took a Tim Winship, who is a former guest on our program, kind of took them to task for the way that they put things together, because he says that Wyndham Rewards, which was 10th on their list, in his opinion, actually has the very best program, the lowest number of points to redeem to get any hotel in their system, etc. So anyways, just for fun, we'll post it at travelguysradio.com if you want to take a look at it. And I think, Thomas, that is bringing us just about to the end of the travel news for today.
All right. Awesome. And once again, folks, as Mark mentioned, you can go to travelguysradio.com. Links to pretty much everything we talk about can be found there. And oh, by the way, if you would like podcasts of any of the Travel Guys radio shows, you can find them there. And Mark, tell our listeners about what they can do if they would like to be alerted about when our podcasts are posted.
There you go. You just go to travelguysradio.com. Right at the top of the website, you'll see an opportunity there for you to sign up for the podcast. And then what will happen is once a week on a Tuesday, you will get an email from us telling you giving you a link to the podcast. I promise we will not fill up your mailbox every day. We will just send you one email a week, non-promotional, just to tell you how to get to the podcast.
All right. Coming up, the topic, travel as a political statement. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can you see the sunshine?
We continue here on KFBK. You've tuned to The Travel Guys here every Sunday from 3 to 4 o'clock. Follow along with everything we talk about at travelguysradio.com. I'm Tom Romano. Across from me, Mark Hoffman. With Sports Leisure Vacations, our underwriter. Not too long ago, Mark, we gave away some tickets to a performance here in Sacramento to, someone who in the travel world is pretty well known. Tell me about it.
Well, yes, Rick Steves was in town last Sunday night at the Crest Theater, played before a crowd of, this theater holds about 900, and there were a few seats, like a few, up in the very corner that were empty. So it wasn't quite a sellout, but nonetheless, it was a big crowd. And it's the first time I'd ever heard Rick Steves speak. And I thought this was, he spoke for about an hour and a half. And the title of his sermon was Traveling as a Political Act, which of course gets everybody's attention these days because many of us are kind of focused on politics. Feelings are running rather strong on both sides of the coin. But Rick Steves was there, I don't think, so much as to talk about the politics in our country necessarily or the things that divide us, but rather politics as you travel around the country, and that what you take with you are your values and your lifestyle and your way of being, and what you're hoping to find when you go to other places are other people's values and lifestyles and way of being, and you're hopefully celebrating the fact that those folks are a little different than what you might find at home, because after all, I think that's one of the reasons that people travel. You know, Tom, I've been taking people on the road now for almost four decades, and the aha moment, the moment when you as a tour director, Rick Steves was talking about this from the stage last Sunday, the moment that you as a tour director or a travel, a person who puts together things for other people to enjoy in the world of travel, you get someplace and that special moment happens and you're just standing back and you're just, you know, you're just glowing because you think to yourself, wow, I've created that moment where these travelers are interacting with this person or these people in this place that's not their home, and they're learning and they're amazed and their eyes are as big as saucers. And that's what Mr. Steves is talking about when he's talking about traveling as a political act, is take your values and your way of life and share them with other people and allow them to share back with you. If you watch Anthony Bourdain, who I had the opportunity to see in person in San Francisco a year ago, another great speaker, a very different sort of presentation. But if you watch his program, you can tell that it's the same thing. So professional travelers who travel for a living, like Rick Steves and Anthony Bourdain, they're looking for something. And I think that's the same thing that most other travelers are looking for on the road.
You know, did he talk about the fact that when we travel to other countries, how we act and how we present ourselves? Because, you know, people in other countries have a perception of Americans based on a lot of times on the media, because perhaps they haven't met that many. But when we show up, how we act and, you know, how we interact with others is a reflection on our own country. Did he talk anything about that?
Oh, absolutely. You bring things with you that you can sit down and talk to people about, because their impression or their knowledge of America may or may not be accurate or correct. And those of us who live in this great big country of ours know that if you live on the West Coast, or if you live in the South, or if you live in the middle of the country, or you live in New England or the East Coast, those are all very different regions. You know, the frozen tundra of Minnesota, those people are very different from Californians. And one thing that we try to celebrate in our country as often as possible, at least I do as a traveler, is the cultural differences within our own country. One of the things he talks about is connecting with people. And I took a few notes here. He says, you know, stay in people's homes. And if you can't do that, spend time with your host. Visit a university. You know, eat in the cafeteria. Seek answers for cultural riddles. Why do Hindus feed their cows better than their children? Why do Muslim women wear scarves? Why do Norwegians so willingly pay high taxes? I mean, those are cultural things that expand your horizon. And one thing the millennials have brought us, Tom, is that their generation has basically said, if travel is such a life-enriching experience, why are you waiting until the end of your life to do it? Why are you waiting until you're retired? Well, you have to accumulate wealth and to be able to travel. And the millennials have said BS on that. They've said, you know, you don't have to accumulate wealth. Go into debt a little bit. If travel is such a wonderful thing, make sacrifices that put travel first. And so
I like that.
Many people, oh, I do too. And it's rubbed off or rubbed up on their parents and their grandparents, because they've said, Grandma, why are you waiting? Go now. Go. You've always wanted to go to New York City. Go. You've always wanted to go to London or to Paris or to Mozambique. Go. And the other thing he was saying was, take your baggage with you. You know, we all travel with baggage. So bring some of that baggage, the good baggage, and share it with people. You know, perhaps bring little small gifts that you can give out. I love doing that, that you can give away as you travel. Things that represent something that's important to you or something. Anyway, mm-hmm. You can go. We'll post this at travelguysradio.com. You can go to ricksteves.com, and you can see basically the things that he talked about. If you were not able to join us last Sunday night, and even if you were, you might enjoy being able to reference some of the things that Mr. Steve said. Some people, Tom, I'm sure this is said about me also. Some people consider him to be kind of a pompous guy and a little bit aloof. I've only met him once, and he was very tired on the day I met him. And we did an interview for the radio, and he was very gracious and did a wonderful interview. So that's the only in-person impression I have, is of a very tired traveler who was very gracious and courteous to a little radio guy. But on the stage, he really seemed to connect with his audience. The people who were there really seemed to understand what he was talking about. And if you are a philosophical traveler who believes that travel is somewhat of a political act, I invite you to go to travelguysradio.com and look this up. And we can share with you a little bit of what Mr. Steve shared with a bunch of Sacramentans last Sunday night.
We are the Travel Guys. Coming up after we find out what the world's going on in the KFBK news.
Last week, Gwen Duncan talked about a couple of websites that could help you when you were traveling. And by golly, we have a gentleman from one of those websites to join us. How safe is my trip? Coming up right after the news here on the Travel Guys.
It's Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK. Not too long ago, we had Gwen Duncan on the air, and Mark and I and Gwen were talking about travel scams and how difficult in safety can be while you're traveling. And we did mention a website. And Mark, tell us, we were able to hook up with our special guest. Tell us the website and who we're speaking with today.
Well, we've got Lewis on the line from How Safe Is My Trip? And ironically, Lewis is across an ocean talking to us today. So if you want people who can help keep you safe in foreign lands, by golly, they're already in a foreign land. Lewis, welcome to the Travel Guys this afternoon.
Thanks very much for having me.
Lewis, the name of your company is How Safe Is My Trip? I've taken some time to go over your website and kind of look at your product. And basically, it seems as though what you're doing is providing people with an extra measure of security and of knowledge when they're traveling. Why don't you explain to us, how safe is my trip? How did you get started? And how does your product work?
Absolutely. So to give you the kind of basic background, I started out in the British Army as an intelligence officer serving in Afghanistan. Following this, I went into the corporate security world. So I spent a few years living in the Middle East, working for an oil company, doing kind of travel security and generic corporate security on the threat intelligence side of things. Following that, I moved out to Hong Kong, where I worked for an American company, actually Goldman Sachs. And I was doing the same thing for them, working in their crisis management center, helping with sort of traveler safety and things like that. I left Goldman Sachs at the start of the year to start How Safe Is My Trip. And basically what we want to do is bring the same level of security that corporate travelers enjoy to, you know, ordinary members of the public. So we kind of run three programs in How Safe Is My Trip. We run a business security side, and that's for kind of smaller businesses who don't have their own in-house security teams. We help them travel. We have the academic side, and that's the same kind of thing, but for academic travelers from schools and universities. And then the part of the business that I imagine you're most interested in is the vacation travel side of things. And that's really for people who are going on holiday overseas, who are a little bit concerned about their safety, whether it's a high or a low risk environment. And we're there just to kind of guide them through it, make sure that they're not caught up by any scams or any threats that might be lurking out there, and that we can make any security arrangements for them.
Now, Lewis, so when folks are getting ready to go on a trip, and I've looked on your website, and you've got for academic travelers, for business travelers, for vacation travelers. So let's take leisure travelers, because that's probably most of what is listening to our program here on the Travel Guys this afternoon. So I see it's priced for a week vacation, a couple weeks. You can go all the way up to a year, and it really seems very modestly priced at about $170 U.S., it looked like, for a vacation. Explain, Lewis, just exactly. I'm traveling overseas. I'm going to England and France and Belgium and places that have had certainly not only some terrorism issues, but some security issues. How would you communicate those things to me before and during my travels?
Well, that's actually a really good example. I myself being an Englishman, but I'm actually based in Paris, France. So in that case, it would be me that was designated as your travel security manager. If you were going somewhere else, for example, Asia, you'd be connected with our Asia Pacific security manager. What that does is it gives you someone who really knows the territory that you're going to be traveling through and can talk you through it all. So it starts with a phone call or an email, however you prefer. And what we'll do is we'll have a chat about who you are, what your travel kind of risk profile is like, and I'll just seek to understand what kind of traveler you are. So if you're a retired couple who are going on a golfing holiday, your risk profile is going to be very different to, you know, if you're going on an extreme sports kind of motorcycling holiday across the desert somewhere. The kind of risks that are facing you are going to vary there. So what we'll do is we'll have a conversation about that, have a conversation about your destination and what you really plan to do there. And then we'll figure out what kind of security support you really need and what you're comfortable with, because some people don't really want the full thing. They just want the kind of background information. Going on from there, what we do is we'll go away and provide we'll write up a threat report. And this is a kind of military intelligence style report, but we cut it down into a very easily digestible, civilianized version of it. And what that does, that sort of says, okay, here are the scams in your destination. Here are the crimes. Here's what the terrorism risk looks like. You know, here's what the police look like, and if they're trustworthy, if there's a corruption issue, things like that. And we just help you understand the environment. On top of that, we provide you lots of mapping and things to say, okay, you know, these neighborhoods in the cities you're visiting are quite dangerous, so avoid them. These areas are pretty good. We look at your hotel that you're staying in, and we say, okay, you know, is it an international chain? Do we know their safety regulations? Are they pretty good for things like fire safety and security, or are there extra measures that we'd recommend you take? And then on top of that, we provide you with some sort of tailored advice that says, okay, this is what we want you to keep in mind while you're on the road. These are the sort of things to stop you becoming a victim to any of those problems. Following that, your security manager gets back in touch with you again and just talks you through it all, makes sure you've understood it. And if there's any sort of extra questions that you have or any additional support you'd require, we can go and arrange that. So, for example, if you're going somewhere a little more dangerous, you might like to start to look at a security trained driver service, so we can go away and arrange that using one of our recommended vendors. Or if it was somewhere like France, for example, it's actually a pretty benign environment here. Your main risk is going to be scams and crimes. Really, it would just be a case of recommending things like, you know, here's the type of anti-pickpocket wallet you might want to buy for this trip. Here's the type of travel insurance you might want and things like that. Then when you're on the road, what we'll do is keep an eye on our threat monitoring systems. So what we're doing is just keeping an eye out for anything like terrorist attacks, big political movements, anything that could disrupt your travel, put you in harm's way. And as soon as anything like that happens, we'll be straight in touch, either by phone or email. We even, in some cases, have used Facebook Messenger and apps like WhatsApp. I don't know if you have that in the US, to warn people about these things. That way, you're just not caught off guard while you're on the road.
We're talking to Lewis Sage Passant, who is with HowSafeIsMyTrip.com. Tom, this really impresses me as something that would be just invaluable to an international traveler.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Lewis, we talked not too long ago about on the air about the different scams to watch out for. With your experience doing this for some time, what is the top one or two things that you see over and over again that tourists and vacationers run into that they need to watch out for?
I think scams are certainly the main one. Right now, terrorism's the big threat that's at the forefront of everyone's mind. But really, what I tell my customers is, as long as you take the kind of sensible precautions, don't go anywhere too risky, and just keep it in mind what to do if you're caught in the event of an attack. the chances of you actually being involved in a terrorist incident are extremely small. What's much more likely is being the victim of a scam or a petty crime like pickpocketing. But when you're on holiday, when you're in a foreign country, especially if they speak a different language, those kind of incidents can be really traumatic for travelers. And we do unfortunately see a lot of those. A lot of our clients come to us because they've had an incident like that in the past, and they really just want to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Lewis, I suspect you are about to begin a relationship with the underwriter of this program, Sports Leisure Vacations, because it strikes me as someone who moves groups of people to different countries and different places. The value of this to me as a tour operator of being able to find out ahead of time or while I'm out on the road in real time things that are happening and to other tour operators like myself, I might suggest to you that this would be an incredibly invaluable tool to us because we are responsible for, you know, groups of people, 15, 20, 25 folks when we're traveling internationally. So it seems as though this would be a terrific product. I will tell our listeners that if you're interested in knowing more about How Safe Is My Trip, we have a link to it at travelguysradio.com. So you can go there now or all during the week or whatever and find out about How Safe Is Our Trip. Lewis, anything that we've skipped over here that you would like to share?
Not at all. I suppose the only thing I'd say is just to anyone listening who's really unsure about whether this service is for them, I just want to reassure them, really, what we're trying to do is take quite a scary concept, and that's sort of corporate level travel security management, and bring that to ordinary people. So if you're not sure if this is for you or not, then send us a message on Facebook, give us a call or an email, and we can talk about it, because I'm sure it's there's something we can do for everyone.
HowSafeIsMyTrip.com. You can find a link at Travel Guys Radio. Lewis, thank you so much for joining us today. And I suspect that we will check back in with you a little bit down the road and see how things are going. I think you are providing a service to the average traveler that perhaps hasn't been available before. And it's very exciting. It's too bad that we need it, but it's very exciting that something like this might be available.
Absolutely. I look forward to speaking again.
You're listening to The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We're going to take a mini break, and when we come back, sit down with Mark Hoffman and talk about two of his favorite destinations. That's next on The Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You know, we don't spend a lot of time talking about our sponsor, Sports Leisure Vacations, who takes people virtually all over the world. But I was watching the news and I saw the ad the other day on TV about the Olympics coming right around the corner. I love Winter Olympics, and I know that Sports Leisure Vacations has a trip over to the Bay Area, I do believe, for a pre-Olympic event. Mark, tell us what that's about.
Yeah, it's the figure skating, U.S. Figure Skating Championships. They take place the first week of January. And Sports Leisure is taking a bus over to San Jose. We're spending four nights in a Embassy Suites hotel in Milpitas. You'll have transportation every day to the arena. You can watch the main event in the evening, the secondary event in the afternoon if you want to. You can immerse yourself in skating if that's what you desire to do. And I know a lot of folks who are skating fans, that is exactly what they want to do. If I go follow the Giants on the road, I want to watch the game every day. So I get that. And we have all event tickets, so you could totally immerse yourself in skating for 3 or 4 days, or you can do skating in the evening and do a little sightseeing during the day, do a tour of Silicon Valley, do Sunday brunch at the Hayes Mansion one day. That's really a wonderful culinary treat. So there are some great things besides skating, but of course the Olympic team, Tom, as you kind of alluded to here, will be chosen from the winners in San Jose. You can bet everybody's going to be on top of their game.
I have to ask the question. I've never been to an indoor ice arena during competition. Do you have to wear a coat? Does it get cold?
That's a really good question. people, and also it gives me an opportunity to tell people that we have excellent seats. When you're in a skating event, you can choose to sit way down by the ice, you know, down by the dugout in baseball. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that the word ice, I-C-E, it's cold. It's a big, big, big sheet of ice. So the closer you get to it, and of course the building can't be kept real warm because ice would melt.
Right.
So the closer you get to it, the colder it gets. And so indeed, if you are going to one of these skating events, even if you are midway, which we are, our seats are at the top of the lower level. And they are just off center ice. So we have excellent seating locations. And the good thing about being at the top of the section is if you have to get up to go to the concessions or the restroom or something like that, you don't have to climb a whole bunch of steps. And you've got a great overview of the entire sheet of ice. So you can see what's going on in the corners and not just up close to you. So it's that is really important. And we select those tickets, Tom, based on having taken people to skating events for years and deciding, you know, which tickets offer the best value, because tickets to things like this are not inexpensive. The ticket, the all event ticket alone is, if I'm remembering correctly, is about $795. And then plus there's a special champions. Everybody who wins comes back on Sunday night and does a skating exhibition, which is always fun. And you have tickets for that also. So if you're a skating fan, you can go to sportsleisure.com and look up the Figure Skating Championship, or you can just call Sports Leisure tomorrow morning at 361-2051, and they will be more than happy to, my staff will be more than happy to fix you up. If you are not looking for a package with transportation and you would just like to purchase the tickets, an all-event ticket, we have, I think, two of those for sale. I have four seats left, and I think I have two all-event tickets. So if you're just looking for tickets, or you'd want a package with the hotel and the transportation and everything, we can do that. Figure Skating Championships, the 4th through the 8th at the SAP Arena in San Jose.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano. Let's get off the ice and head across country for another Sports Leisure Vacations trip that's coming up in the spring, right?
Yeah, it is. This is my favorite thing to do. I discovered this old highway 20 years ago, and it's led me to a bunch of other old highways. And I'm, I don't know about you, Tom, but when I travel, I'm the kind of guy that, what's over that hill over there? What's up around that corner? What's that old house? What's that old building about? That's me. If you like off the beaten track or on the side road, then there is just nothing better than a drive down Route 66. It's so many things. We were talking earlier about the travel as a political statement, and Rick Steves talking about going places that really put you in that aha moment. And there's so many of them on this old highway, because driving down Route 66 is about meeting the people in the little towns and the off the beaten track places. Some of them have done amazing things, have created wonderful restaurants or unique roadside stops that you can't find anyplace else. But most of all, they're just nice people. And if you start in Chicago and take the old highway through Illinois and Missouri and Oklahoma, that's where our first half in the spring ends. It goes from Chicago to Oklahoma City. And then in the fall, we're going to pick up and do Oklahoma City to Santa Monica. So it's possible to do the whole route in two sections or to pick one side. We're taking 30 people on the eastern side. And one reason that we're talking about this now instead of waiting until after Christmas is because there are only two seats left. So if you are a highway enthusiast and you've always wanted to go out and do something like this, I assure you that there is no better opportunity than to go with Sports Leisure Vacations. I personally have escorted 7 or 8 groups on the old highway. Kind of know it like the back of my hand. Was out there, Tom, as you know, a couple weeks ago on the old road.
Right.
And there's just so many great places. There, wonderful places to eat, like the Chicken Basket in Chicago that's been there forever and serves the, gosh, some of the best fried chicken in the world. The Missouri Hick Barbecue outside of Cuba, Missouri. Dennis has built this place that kind of plays off the Ozarks and stuff like that in a fun way, and he serves the most amazing barbecue, and now he's been there for 15 years. We were there the first year he was open, and now he's got two locations in town. The Rock Cafe in Stroud, which is this old cafe that was built out of rock. The lady who owns it, Dawn, is actually one of the characters in the Cars movie. It's a unique and wonderful place to eat. It's Mickey Mantle's home in Commerce, Oklahoma. We're going to go there, and you can stand and look at the wall that Mickey Mantle threw the ball against, like lots of little boys did for years and years and years, except Mickey Mantle went on to be in the Hall of Fame. A man who took his hometown and is buying his hometown one piece at a time and moving it to a new place a few miles away so he can recreate his hometown. That's Red Oak, Missouri. There's a store called Pops that sells nothing but soft drinks. Okay, well, I think they have a little restaurant in there now, too. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of soft drinks. And these people, they make a living that way. It's just amazing. Places to stay like the Wagon Wheel in Cuba, which is the lady has fixed it up. And the Rail Haven in Springfield, Missouri, or the Munger Moss Hotel in Lebanon, Missouri. Just some of the places. You could go out on the old road and stay in old places that have been fixed up. And get the feeling of we stay in some of those places, and sometimes we get a nice modern hotel because it's a long journey, and you know you got to be fresh for each day's travel. But there are so many great places. The Rabbit Ranch, where the rabbit autographs postcards by biting down on them in Illinois. As you can probably tell, Tom, you get me started on the old highway. Yeah. It's hard to get me stopped.
I used to wind him up, and there he goes. Out on the open road. Mark, tell the folks, you know, you say you got a couple of seats left on this incredible Route 66 trip. When do you guys depart?
We're going in April on the Chicago-Oklahoma City section. And if you're more interested in the western half, from Oklahoma City to Santa Monica, that's going to be late next October. So we would love to have you on either or both, or if you have a friend who is, you know, is one of those off the beaten track, what's over the hill behind the bend sort of people, they will be very much at home here. It's interesting to note the first half we take 11 days to travel roughly 1,100 miles. So it's really not a track meet at all. There are a couple nights where we stay two nights in a city. You're going to see the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library in Springfield, Missouri, which ironically the Lincoln Highway, named after the president, but his personal presidential library is on Route 66.
Interesting.
Because Springfield is where he made his living in early years. So anyways, Route 66 across America. If you are so inclined, sportsleisure.com will give you more information. And I would be delighted to be your tour director and show you a real piece of Americana.
And once again, the nice thing about going on this trip is you get to go with Mark himself, one half of the travel guys.
We will have a wonderful time. And if you're a skating fan, why, give us a call on that one too. That about wraps up this edition of the Travel Guys. It has been a pleasure to have you along with us on this December Sunday afternoon. Hope you have a wonderful week. Do a little Christmas shopping as the holidays draw nearer. And we will talk to you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Remember, dance like nobody's watching.
Thank you, my friends. You stay well. We'll see you next time here on the Travel Guys.